Hi, is anybody there? Hi.
Hello?
Anybody hear me? Hello.
Yeah,
hi,
hello,
this is David
Kendi.
Nelson. Hello, Kendi.
Hello.
Hi, David. This is Jean.
Hello, Jean. Pleased to meet you.
Hi.
And who else just entered the room?
Hi.
Hi, who's there? Who's that?
Andreas.
Gabriel. Hi, Gabriel.
Andreas, that was.
Andreas.
Hi.
Okay. I think we've got Michael Wheatland who's going to join us too.
He just entered the chat room.
Okay. Okay, if you just give me 1 minute, I'm just going to assemble my ideas and we'll see if there's anybody else just coming in and then we'll get started. By the way, I'm just creating a page that we can type stuff into while we're online, and obviously I guess you all know that we're on the Documentation Foundation IRC channel. Hi, who have we got there now?
Hi, it's Michael Wheatland.
Hello, Michael. Right, just 1 second, Michael. We're just getting assembled and then we're going to start.
Not a problem.
Okay, first thing, I've just created a page on the wiki, so if you are able to log into the wiki and have a look at the link that I've just pasted into the IRC chat, then we can all kind of take notes there while we're discussing. So, are we all ready then?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine. Okay, well, first of all, I'd like to say thank you very much to everyone for responding and coming to this meeting. Particular thanks to Jean, because I know you've got a very busy schedule today. So, We're going to get through everything that you could possibly be interested in, Gene, first of all, and that way you're free after that to stay or else to continue your day, whatever. I think the first thing we could start off with is maybe everybody would like to just introduce themselves for 15 seconds or 30 seconds or something like that. Everybody gets like a 15-second slot. Is that okay with you guys?
Sure.
Okay. Let me start with myself. I'm a new contributor to LibreOffice. I guess I'm most of all interested in documentation, because that ties in most closely with my profession. I'm a professional technical translator. And, well, that's about it. Okay. So how about you, Gene?
Oh, well, most people know me. I guess I'm pretty much the coordinator at OO Authors Documentation. I'm a retired technical editor and writer. I'm mostly here to, because David asked me to be available to explain any of the authors-related stuff, because I'm not really working on the LibreOffice things directly at the moment anyway.
Okay. Ron Fail, are you in the channel? Okay, Michael, you're on the channel. Would you like to take up next?
Yeah. My name's Michael Wheatland. Australian, I'm very new to the LibreOffice or OpenOffice community. Getting heavily involved with the Drupal-based website, and about to get heavily into the temporary Silverstripe website as well. I suppose my main focus is to try and make sure that the coordination between groups is accurate and constructive. That's where I'm coming from.
Okay. Andreas, I think you're online, right?
Okay, yeah. I'm a contributor to OpenOffice Org since 2002, and I changed to LibreOffice at the beginning, and I'm a long-time contributor to the, well, member of the German community of OpenOffice Org, and I'm working on documentation that time. And have always put some documentation on the site of OpenOffice.org and trying to put them in a shape that is working with LibreOffice. And yeah, I'm the guy who set up the OpenOffice site. You know that I'm the one who was who made the clone for OpenOffice working.
Ah, okay. Kendi, would you like to introduce yourself there?
Yes, yeah, sure. Yeah, so I'm Jan Haloszewski, but everybody knows me as Kendi. And I'm a developer. I'm with the Novell team, and I used to work on OpenOffice. Now I'm working on LibreOffice. And my main reason to join this conference is to explain you about the new WikiHelp that I'm working on. And about how we can work together there to make it perfect.
Okay, that's great. Have we got anybody else who's listening in who would like to introduce themselves as well? Silence means no. Okay, fine. So... okay, Ron's in on the call as well, but he doesn't hear anything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll try and type him a couple of messages there to see if we can get him connected. Meanwhile, let's get back to the agenda. Are you on the conf call agenda? Let me just give you the link there. Okay, that's conf calls page on the IRC. Let's take a look at the agenda. So we've done item one. Okay, item two, about all I can say is that I particularly wanted to do this conf call because I don't see a documentation team at the present time, you know, not a team that, you know, you can identify. And I think we should change that and try and find out, try and establish who the members are, who's going to contribute to the documentation team, and try and identify somebody who's going to at least act as a lead until such time as the TDF appoints or holds a vote for a team lead or whatever. What's your position on that one, Gene? You were co-lead of the OOO documentation team, right?
I've been with the authors group doing the user guides for about 8 years, I guess, and a couple of years ago I was voted to be the co-lead of the Open Office documentation. For the moment,
how do you feel
anyway,
about continuing? How do you feel about continuing that role there for it?
For the moment, that's where I want to stay. I'm particularly through the author's website. I'm quite interested in helping in any way to make that useful for the LibreOffice documentation people if they want to use it, but I really don't want to take a leadership role. I just don't fit everything into my life anyway, and that would just be too much.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And quite honest, I'm not. I find that trying to wrestle with the issues around a startup is kind of. I mean, I'm retired. I'm not really interested in
all the flaming and the arguing and the.
Not so much
arguing.
All the
stuff on the mail list.
I've herded far too many cats in my life, and I really. But you know, who knows about next year?
Yeah. Right.
But not for the moment. Now.
Okay, so you see yourself as a kind of a neutral party in between OOO and LibreOffice, if I understand correctly.
Well, yeah, I suppose. I think that there's a lot we could do to work together, particularly when we don't have enough people to do everything.
Sure, sorry, please. Just tell me. Yeah, Michael, chime in.
Yes, I just wanted to actually ask a direct question to Gene. It's fully understandable that you aren't wanting to jump into the deep end with this project. One question I did want to ask was what skill set and requirements do you believe that the new leader of a document group for LibreOffice would require?
First of all, it's not so much a skill, but it's, I think you need a fair amount of time and being available a lot, particularly in the beginning. And in fact, that's another reason why I don't want to really get involved, because I have a tendency to go bush for weeks at a time and nobody can find me, which can be very, if people are expecting me to do something, you know, everything grinds to a halt.
Yeah.
But otherwise, well, some experience in coordinating a group of people and is probably pretty useful. I've done the coordinating. I've also done an awful lot of the editing because I've got that sort of background. But a coordinator wouldn't necessarily need to do that. And, I mean, I'm also a publisher. I do the printed books through a different organization.
Yeah. And,
that's sort of a separate issue. But the thing is that you kind of look for people who... But I think for the coordinator, really, it's some experience in planning and coordinating and encouraging and nagging and...
withstanding the flaming and the attacks on the mailing list.
we haven't actually really had much of that, fortunately. There's been a couple people I've had to kick out over the years, but when you consider the number of people, it's been really, really trivial.
I have a question for you, Jean.
Mm.
Right now, so you know you're running authors. How much active work is actually going on in terms of documentation inside the OOO project? Are you still like doing a lot of work over there, or has it gone inactive? Or what's the situation there?
There's a small group of people who maybe half a dozen who have been contributing pretty regularly over the last few months. We're not enough to really do everything that needs to be done. We get several new people a week who pretty much typically do nothing. I have a tendency on my grouchy days to say that I'm most of the team, meaning that I do most of the work by far. But the other people who actually do things do great things. It's just that they don't do enough of them. They aren't enough of them. We've just finished updating the Getting Started guide for version 3.3, which means that it's pretty much ready for whatever changes need to be made to do it for LibreOffice, and I think Ron actually has done a great deal of that, you. I'm not quite sure who's been doing all of that stuff. We're working on the writer guide at the moment. The problem seems to be we have plenty of people who are willing to do some reviewing, to do some editing, and nobody except for me and Michelle Zari are really doing any writing.
Okay. Fine.
You know, writing up new and changed stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
And so we tend to be the biggest sort of limiting factor.
Right.
And we miss a lot of stuff.
I'm sorry?
I do. I miss a lot of things. I try to do all this stuff, and of course, stuff goes by me. I don't notice.
Yeah, sure. Okay, that's normal. Yeah.
And I really don't have any good ideas on how to improve the situation. I think that if we had somebody, and it's not me, to do a lot more mentoring, that might help. On the other hand, it might end up being far more energy expended than you get back. We collect a lot of people who are wannabe tech writers, and it rapidly becomes obvious that they're mostly pretty clueless.
Right.
I mean, really clueless.
Yeah.
haven't the first idea how to research something, how to...
Yeah.
never mind. I've never found out whether they can write or not, because they've never gotten to that point.
Well, I suppose, like, one qualification, as Michael was asking, you know, for being in a project like this, is that you want to have some kind of technical writing experience beforehand, because writing technical documents, it's actually quite a task. I just finished, just like about 15 minutes ago, writing just the installation section in the README for the Linux distribution, and I thought, oh, you know, you kind of knock this out in about an hour or something like that. Oh, but once you start sitting down and writing, then you find, oh yeah, but you have to remember, you're installing on Debian, you're installing on Fedora Core, you have to have like two sets of instructions. It gets quite involved, and I ended up with about 1,500 words when I thought, you know, the whole thing would be finished in like in about 25 lines. So yeah, you need some, it's good to have some technical documentation experience, huh? One question
Yeah, particularly. I see Ron Fales just said that he's been converted the documents. It's on the IRC there. That's good.
Yeah. I've seen them there on the documentation page. There's a nice list of user documentation to start off with. One question I have for you, Gene, is, you know, you're standing in the middle there in OO authors, right? As far as version 3.3 is concerned, I think there are not going to be very many differences, but then, for instance, they're going to come out in their next version with their new user interface. I understand that OOO is working on a revised user interface, and similarly, LibreOffice is also working on a revised user interface, which I think is not actually going to become available until 3.5, if I'm correct. But that's going to make a big difference from the point of view of a documentation writer, because obviously the user interface is, you're writing about the user interface. So,
in another year or so, then it'll probably diverge enough that sort of starting with the same set of guides may not work. But lots can change in that time. We'll have a different platform at LibreOffice, and so
the new OOO user interface is coming out in the new upcoming version 3.3. Is that correct, or am I mistaken?
No. There's been a few changes, mainly, I think, in the impress and the presentations package, but I don't think there's been any major thing overall.
So Michael's asking, do we actually need to diverge the documentation in 3.3 or 3.4 or 3.5? What do you think, Gene?
To be honest, I've been paying that much attention to what's coming up in the next couple of releases, so I really don't know at this point where I think that it might be, you know, major enough that we couldn't just adapt one lot to the other. I really don't know at this point. But certainly right now, I don't think there's much difference. I think mainly LibreOffice has added a few badly needed things, hasn't it?
Ron Fale is saying, can you explain? Explain what exactly? Explain what, Ron?
Oh, I think he was asking Michael.
Okay. Well, Michael was wanting. Go ahead, Michael.
Sorry, I am here. I was just asking that question on the IRC, which was, do we need to divert the documentation in between at 3.3 level? I don't think there's quite a clear path going from 3.4 to 3.5. and beyond. Until we reach that point, I can see that there's definitely going to be a better quality documentation if we are, or if the people who are interested in documentation are focusing on development of the openoffice.org documentation and possibly even well, not possibly assisting Gene over on 000 authors. And I suppose this is coming into this this next agenda item. The quality of the documents is very high, as we can all see, and quite clear that there's not going to be very many, if any, differences between the two releases of OpenOffice and LibreOffice at the 3.3 stage. I think the timing in between 3.3 and an upgrade to 3.4 will actually allow us to get a system in place, an agreed system in place. So that's what I was thinking of, and I'm sure Gene would be grateful to get the assistance over on 000 authors.
Well,
yeah. Oh, I was going to say, going back to, you know, who we have to do things, a bunch of retired tech writers have showed up in the last 6 months, but I don't hear much from them. I can speculate all sorts of reasons why, but I just don't know.
They're showing up in the OOO community, right?
Yeah, okay.
Right.
Well, one of the things, when you download OpenOffice, you see a screen that says, you know, can you help, kind of thing. And one of the things that's there is, like, documentation. So a lot of people who aren't into development come through documentation. And I just love the ones that say, I've never used this before. I'd love to write to help you write your user guides. I'm going, duh.
Yeah. Sometimes I think sometimes people don't necessarily realize all the implications, but...
No, of course not. Some of them can be very useful if they're any good at testing, testing documentation, but they're not at writing. Anyway.
Okay.
But so, yeah, to retired tech writers seems like a really good resource, for, you know, people like me.
Well, I'm me, so, from my viewpoint, you know, I'm kind of primarily interested in writing for LibreOffice, but I'm certainly, you know, willing to submit all the stuff over at OOO authors and be guided by Eugene, insofar as, you know, it doesn't require any work to convert it to OOO. I would rather focus my attention on LibreOffice personally, but you know, I want to be guided by you and your experience.
Yeah, well, I'd have to think about what might be the most effective way to use someone like you. Certainly there's some things like the installation and so forth that we kind of took over, but it's never really been our responsibility, and there's probably some other things around the edges that are actually very needed but aren't being really handled by us at all or by anybody properly.
Right.
So that's another area.
I've seen on the LibreOffice site, for instance, you know, we have user documentation already, but I mean, over at OOO, do you have any developer documentation?
Yes, but that's handled really, I think, mainly by the Oracle guys and various volunteers that work with them, and I don't actually personally have anything to do with it. But it's mainly on the wiki. The source is on the wiki.
Okay.
So if I can comment on the developer documentation.
Yeah, sure.
So this is Candy. So there's quite extensive documentation on how to write extensions, but it is not that useful for core development of LibreOffice. And unfortunately, the documentation for LibreOffice itself, because it takes from the history of OpenOffice, where the code wasn't commented that much, so that we are not able to generate that much of developer documentation from that. And as Jane said, most of that is on Wiki. So like how to build it and how to get involved in this, but like description of really the insights of LibreOffice, it's still missing.
Right. And Kendi, do you think that the material that's over at 000 is kind of portable to LibreOffice or not really anymore?
Yeah, so it's still portable. But I personally don't see that much value in the extension writing.
What they
have. Like, yeah. So, like, because we are still compatible with OpenOffice on doing extensions. So this is usable for the LibreOffice people wanting to write extensions. But my point of view is that at the moment we are more interested in the core development than in writing extensions. And actually, one of the things that we do and want to do is that we include the interesting extensions directly in the LibreOffice installation.
Right. I remember there was some discussion about this on the list. Some people think that, you know, a lot of extensions should be included in the original installation, and other people think that the installation should be kept as light as possible, and then people should then go out shopping for the for the extensions that they want. I suppose that's something that's going to be established by the developers over time. Coming back to the agenda here, I think we covered like point three. Should we use the OOO website for tracking docs during writing, reviewing, and editing? Have we covered that, Gene? What do you think? You put that question up. Have we answered that question yet or not?
I guess it's a matter of the group just agreeing to do it or not do it. There's some Ron or somebody needs to just work out a couple of procedures for deciding what goes from the where we're working on it. I'd started putting them, and Ron's been updating them, the files that we were worked on the author's site and over onto the LibreOffice site so that people could find them. There was, I think, a bit of, I at least wasn't quite sure which things were up to date and so forth. Now I've more or less found out from Ron, but it was... it could be a bit confusing to somebody coming in and want to do something, but that's fairly minor. But I think we need to make sure that everybody knows what's done where and so forth. But it sounds like the consensus of at least the people here is to at least use the docs that are being produced for OpenOffice, but whether you use the website for the tracking, I don't think that's being done at the moment. Tracking in the sense of
Right. This is a little bit more of a website issue, and I think, you know, Michael's very interested in that. I can see your questions on the IRC, Michael, but I would suggest we come back to the website questions more at the end. I'm thinking, let's say for the moment we try and get everybody to, the document should be uploaded in parallel to the LibreOffice Wiki and across our authors at the same time, and then you see what the utility is in doing that. You see whether, you know, whether it's usable, and you tell us from there. As for tracking docs during at the present time, we don't have any sort of like firm workflow laid out. I think it's going to be sort of pretty much a manual process, using the mailing list a lot, and maybe putting down some working rules on the wiki over at LibreOffice, and then you tell me how it all fits in with our authors. You know, we just watch that over time, I guess.
Well, we have, we just set up a series of subdirectories to put in, put stuff, you know, the drafts, and then a subdirectory for feedback, that is reviews of the drafts or edits, and then whoever's working on that puts it back into drafts, and then eventually somebody puts it into published. So it's just, and there's, you can set a flag on the various documents to say that it's available for review, or that it's been it's being worked on. That's what I meant by tracking. It's fairly rudimentary, but at least you have some idea of who's
doing what
on things, and when things are at what stage. We tend to be fairly relaxed about sequences of things. I understand that some of the other groups, perhaps the Germans, are a little more better organized in terms of who's doing what.
Okay, so I think we've done point... Yeah?
Three, yeah.
Okay, we seem to have covered point three then. Michael, I see your questions, which are kind of website-y questions, and I know you're very keen to talk about the potential of Drupal when the Drupal site is ready. If you don't mind, if we can come back to that just a little bit further down the agenda, we'll have a good talk about the website afterwards, and then you can, you know, explain to us concretely what it can do for the documentation team. Okay, is that okay with you?
Sorry. I was just typing my response into IRC. I am very interested in explaining to people what Drupal is capable of doing and what it can do, but I'm mainly here essentially to hear the answers to some of these questions on the agenda so that I can structure the Drupal site wiki or whatever we use to make sure that it meets the needs of the new community, which is, I suppose that's the focus, isn't it? Not a problem.
Right.
We can come back to that.
Okay, so fine. So we'll say we'll put the website questions aside for the moment, and then when we've talked about other things on the agenda, then we'll come back and you can put questions to everybody according to what you've learned during the preceding conversation. So let's say we've done number three. Now, number four, Gene, you put down at what stage do we make draft user docs available to the public?
We're making them available as we go along, which is perfectly fine with me, but it's just something that a group sort of needs to decide, I would think.
Well, it seems to me that at the present time...
picking me off the wiki.
Excuse me?
Sorry. I keep getting login messages on the bloody wiki.
Yeah, because that is Michael Wheatland, who's busy writing stuff on the wiki right now. So there's probably a clash of interest. Maybe you can just like refresh your page in a couple of minutes when Michael's finished, and then you want to type in some notes too there?
I'm on a different page, and it wouldn't give me an edit, but I'm okay now. I'm just grumbling about the wiki.
Okay, I think Michael, when he's finished, like putting some notes into that wiki page, then maybe he can tell us, and then you can start putting in your notes, Gene. There's probably a bit of a clash. Excuse me. I never run into a question.
Login timeout.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, well, we'll leave you two to fight over the wiki right now. And we'll come back to... So let me see, point number four. I think my answer to that at this time is until we get a more formal workflow laid out, I think the best thing is to be putting the stuff up on the wiki. I think we can, you know, publish a warning that this stuff is all raw and unfinished. Use at your own risk. But, you know, this is what we got for you so far. And we just make draft user docs available at the earliest possible time, even, you know, before they're finalized. At least people see content coming available as soon as we've done something.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Okay. Any more comments from anybody else on that? No?
I think, Andreas, I'm thinking that's not a good idea to do drafts on the wiki. You have documents that to be written and to be reviewed, and then you have a first version, and maybe there are some ideas to get some stuff inside, and then you can make a second version. But that should be reviewed, that there are not something inside that's wrong or something that's not in good writing style, and so we want not to make it to give a bill to show something that we are only working as that we are not working for on good stuff. We should publish something that's readable, that's usable, not something that's only in a draft style. Draft style. Yeah.
So, Andreas, basically, okay. What you're saying is, yeah. Candy, did I hear?
Yes, sir.
You
this
then?
Is Candy. So, yeah, if I can intercept again in this, I have completely different view on this. So, what works very well in development and in, you know, shared development and things we are doing now is like publish early and let other people fix that if it doesn't fit. But this is very much coupled into what you choose as the format for actually writing the guide.
That's
for
the
me,
first
well,
we
I'm
have.
Yes, yeah. So I'm like a very big fan of doing things on Wiki because other people when reading that can just fix whatever, like starting with typos and spelling. And finishing with rewriting some parts of whatever is necessary. So I would personally prefer, if I can talk into this, because I'm afraid I'm not going to do any much work in documentation, like writing documentation, more like providing the infrastructure for documentation, because I also have admin rights on the Document Foundation, some of the Document Foundation service, so I can even provide some framework for you if it's necessary.
That's cool. So you actually have like admin powers to provide people with permissions and stuff like that. You're a useful contact then.
Yeah. And So for me, like for my point of view, I'm supportive of things like releasing early, but releasing often, so that whenever you do a fix, show the version early and let other people help you with fixing that. So in this
right.
in this era, I'm very much supportive of doing it in Wiki. Publish whatever unfinished state there and let other people help you.
Okay, now if I can cut in there, so we have two kind of contrasting points of view. We have Andreas, who thinks that we should only really be putting stuff on the wiki once it's in really a user ready state, and we have Kendi, who, yeah, is that correct? Have I got okay. you right there, Andreas?
I can comment a bit. If it you have something that FAQ. On the wiki, and something short text is, but you have different users. We discussed that in the German group at OOO. We have people who want to use wiki pages. Maybe that's the younger ones. And you have older ones who want to have documents that they can put and can get with them and that are in an other... style and some that's more finished. Yeah, they are not.
Okay, I know. I
and we have
can
both,
I,
okay,
all,
I,
both groups.
I think
can
I can
I
just,
say something
just
here.
I just cut in across all three of you just for a second. We have to agree on point number six. What formats do we want to use? And that's something we need to clarify, because you guys are talking about doing stuff on the wiki, but what at the present time on the wiki we have ODT files, and we're not actually writing on the wiki itself. We're writing in ODT files. Gene, you wanted to cut in. What did you have to say there?
Yeah, well, that's just what I was going to say. Is that we there's a difference between having the I think what Kendi was talking about, which is actually having the information in wiki format and the way we've been doing it, which is to have it in ODT and make that available as a download from the wiki. The main reason that we have been doing the ODTs as the source is that that's what the people who were actually doing any work preferred to use. And most of us said if this is going to be user docs with the wiki as the primary source and everything, even though that may be a really good idea, none of us were interested in actually doing it.
Okay.
So.
Okay, so let me just put like a very short opinion of my own. For me, it's logical to do stuff in ODT format because it's very easy after that to export towards other formats. So me, I'm pretty much with Eugene. First of all, people are working inside Writer. You know, they're providing ODT files. Me, I'm really with you on this, Gene. I think we should be doing stuff in ODT files and then uploading it. Now, Kendi, Andreas, let me hear you first, Andreas. You think we should be working in ODT format, or should we should actually be writing inside the wiki?
Oh, I think
what do you think?
The user documentation that should be in ODT, and we should provide also PDF because someone has not the possibility to use the ODT on his computer in the office also, because he has no, but he wants to read the things. You can also use PDF on mobile devices and so. So
okay, I got you. Yeah. I got you. I think I understand what you're trying to say there. Kendi, what's your point of view?
Yeah, so my point of view is do it directly in the wiki, like have all the documentation there from the because of the reasons I told. But as I said, I won't be doing the work, so don't listen to me that much as to Andreas or other people. But from the technical point of view, it is possible to convert from wiki to another format as well. So it is not like that it would be only for web. It is possible to generate from Wiki. It's possible to generate ODT or PDFs or other formats as well. There are tools for that, and if they are not perfect, like I'm one of the people who would be interested in fixing them.
Okay, and you are able and willing to spend time in taking Wiki format on a regular basis and then outputting it into the other formats?
I will be doing that for the Wiki help anyway. So that is where I think it can be shared. Actually the work used for the Wiki help could be useful for this kind of things as well.
Right, okay. Now the Wiki help is a subject we're going to come back to later on because
I was following
that stuff on the mailing list. So right now basically we have Gene, David and Andreas who are saying, well, first of all, people are actually working inside Writer for writing documentation, so that's simply a fact of life. And secondly, we all three think that ODT should be our starting format and that it's logical after that to be able to export towards other formats. Andreas, I'd just like to say that, yeah, sure, I agree with you. We should, at the end of a process, put content in PDF format as well as any other chosen format, but in the actual workflow, in the actual working process, we don't have many people working right now, and it seems to me that we should keep things simple and maybe just stay in ODT during the work process. And when we finish the document, then we can output it in PDF, maybe to Wiki format, and whatever formats we choose. Any comments on that?
It's okay.
I wouldn't mind chiming in for a second. Sorry, Michael Wheatland again.
Go ahead, Michael. Yeah?
What I have realised is we are talking about two distinctly different types of documents. One that Gene is talking about, which is the official documentation of the project, which is essentially, and traditionally it always has been, extremely high quality documents, which are produced...
Right.
In a form which is able to be downloaded, printed very easily. Also being able to be published in a book which people are able to purchase. And there are a lot of professionals and end users that do require, well, not require, but they expect that type of service and those type of publications. What I can see is that wikis are, I suppose, less structured in that form, somewhat less professional, and I don't mean that in a bad way. They can contain a lot more information. Take Wikipedia, for example. It's a great source of information, but everybody knows that it's not always accurate. So that's the distinct difference that we should address.
Okay, fine. Okay, so Michael is a bit of a Wiki fan as well. I bet you see a nice way of working that into the Drupal site. So we'll come back to that.
No, sorry, I did want to clarify that. I'm a big fan of the ODT format. I'm a professional end user. I'm an engineer, I do require documents which are in essentially a word processor format. A wiki format in terms of official documentation and very high quality documentation. I need it accessible offline, and as people have said, it is possible, but I suppose the standard of quality that Gene has been building towards over all these years and has done quite successfully. I just don't see that that's possible with a wiki.
Right. Okay, fine. So I think we've talked about point number six there, and we've also... Well, okay, before we talk about any other point, let's just go back to point number five, It's not okay. So who decides when a chapter or book is ready for publishing? The only comment I would have on that is who equals a documentation team lead when one is identified, or else a lead editor.
Now,
so what do you think about that, Gene? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, yes, I've been, ideally what I would like to see is one, a suitable person in charge of, like, each book, and I think there's four or five, therefore, the workload's not quite as onerous, and we tried to do that earlier on at Authors, but didn't have enough people, the usual story, and so it kind of ended up with me doing all of it.
Right. Yeah, we've got lots of hats and only one head to wear them.
Yeah. I mean, actually, that job wouldn't be quite so bad if I weren't doing everything else as well.
Right.
So one person could actually handle it, but not if they were wearing too many hats.
And
the sort of skills I see for that is you really, I think, need to have a technical editing background of some sort, because the sorts of things that, you know, it goes through six other people who find all sorts of mistakes, and then I look at it and just things I haven't noticed. Of course, it works the other way too. People find things that I don't, so.
Right.
I guess that's your quality control leader or something for documentation.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
I mentioned that. I put that thing on the list because somebody had suggested, like a vote.
Yeah.
And, depending on how that was handled, could be useful or not, but I can see it kind of taking up a bit of time.
Yeah, well, we've got the herding cats problem there.
And one of the things I've started doing, which has worked quite well, actually, is I get to a certain point and I say, okay, everybody take a chapter, have a look at it, find everything, it's actually worked remarkably well. You know, it's a nice little bite-sized thing that people can do.
Yeah, yeah.
And then after we've found everything we can find that's wrong with it, then I go and fix it up and publish it.
Right, right.
So that's part of the, just the general coordination.
Well, It's coming down to the problem we mentioned previously, is that we're lacking actual identifiable team members, and we actually need to recruit some more people into the documentation team. Right at the beginning of the LibreOffice project, I had a really enthusiastic reaction of contacting a couple of Linux distributions looking for contributors. At that time, I was particularly looking for graphic artists, but it seems to me we need to do a kind of a recruiting drive. Now,
well, I was certainly very encouraged by the fact that two people popped that I had never seen before at OpenOffice popped up. That was you and Ron. Are actually doing things.
Yeah,
this is amazing.
Yeah. Well, I think I kind of feel like trying to start up a bit of a recruiting drive for documentation, doing all sorts of loud-mouthed and convention-breaking things like contacting Linux distributions. I also have some ideas for contacting like translation companies and other companies who are kind of involved in documentation, just to invite the, people working there, saying that basically, if you have some free time in the evening, wouldn't you like, in addition to your day job, to get involved in open source project. Now, I'm not probably the people are going to say no, but we might get a few people that way. But it seems to me we need a bit of a recruiting drive. I don't know what you think about that, Gene.
Well, as I said before, we get a lot of interest from people, and most of them are, well, either they never do anything or they're just totally clueless. So trying to recruit the right people is a whole different issue. And I don't actually know the answer to that, because if I did, I'd be doing it.
Right. Okay. Fine.
But yeah, we need more people.
Okay. Fine. So,
maybe if I...
Let's just... Yes, Andreas. Yes.
No, this is Candy. What works for us in development... for recruiting people is actually some kind of list of very easy things that just anyone who has a keyboard and the text editor can do and can start with. And actually this works like some kind of sticky point to the code, and some of the people like contribute one patch and then never show back. The others like get interested and continue doing that and continue doing like harder and harder stuff. So I don't know if it's possible to do with documentation as well.
Something similar to documentation.
Yeah. So we have a page that lists the easy hacks that consist of like removing some comments that are useless for the code and stuff like that. So maybe for documentation, it could be something like proofread. I don't know, like identifying typos and fixing them, or whatever like that. And if the people
actually been very successful in the development area. I see you've got a lot of contributors who responded to those easy hacks and jumped in and sort of like started ripping out redundant comments and untranslated stuff. That's been a very successful thing for you guys, huh?
Yeah, indeed. And also what is important here is that some of these people like evolved into very valuable valuable contributors now. So we gave them the rights to commit directly to the repositories and stuff like that. So and they commit stuff from other people now. So it's just like growing.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. That's a very successful strategy then. You've started out by bringing in people on a beginner basis, and you've actually worked them up the ladder into more involved developers.
And what I think is a bit important in this as well is that we do not have that much former roles in this. And, you know, we have a group of people that is able to commit to the repositories. But we are very very easy in growing this group. So I don't know, as you were talking about the reviewing, I don't know if it's possible to do it the way that if you have no vetoes from your group of trusted people, then it is okay for publishing or something like that. Then then actually, you know, having one person that would be a bottleneck for actually releasing. Because that one person who would be established for doing these reviews would have to be available at the time, and I don't know. Maybe it would be better if you have a group of people and you have no vetoes from that, but you can be sure that at least three of them looked at that or something like that. I don't know.
That's pretty much what we've been trying to do. And I quite agree with everything you said, Candy. We've been less successful, I think, than you have, but that's definitely the way to go.
Mm. Okay.
And I completely agree with not having one person as the bottleneck. And if there was,
I think democracy is good. I think too much democracy when you have a herd of cats is sometimes counterproductive.
We're working on this business of trying to have, you know, relatively easy tasks for people to get started with. And from that, that's worked very well for some people, and some of them have become really, gone into much more difficult things fairly quickly. But honestly, some of the people we get, I don't know.
Not very useful.
Okay. There's one more. Number eight was the other thing that I wanted to cover before I have to go.
Okay. This
does not have to be, you know, a big decision at the moment. I'm just trying to plan ahead. Effective Open Document is an organization that I and some other people started here in Australia several years ago because we needed something to handle money for authors, for the authors group. And something that was nonprofit, that had a legal entity, that could publish out of the accounts and so forth, so there wasn't any fuss about what was happening with the money. And so we have been the official group publishing the printed books, because those are sold. We is, of course, mostly me. And, in fact, this is what I really like to do, is to produce and publish and market printed books.
Okay.
Now, there's absolutely no reason why the Document Foundation, the LibreOffice people, need to use us, but we make the offer. We keep the books in such a way that any book sales coming from sales of LibreOffice books would go to the Document Foundation.
Okay.
You know, they wouldn't get sort of fucked up by somebody else.
Okay. I think it's a great idea. I mean, for a start, in the LibreOffice project, we don't currently have the people or the infrastructure to do something like printed manuals or something like that. So if Friends of Open Document, if you guys think that you can actually produce books from this, then I think it's a great idea. So who do I hear there? Somebody wanted to break in. Okay. So I think that's a really good idea, you know. That sounds good, with some profits from the book sales going to, with, you know, some of the profits from the book sales going to TDF, and maybe some of the profits being plowed back into Friends of Open Document to maintain the project over there. Sounds good to me.
Yes, I put on the wiki the details about what we do, and we take 50 cents Australian per book sold. For overheads like getting the accountant to do the books, or the bookkeeping, I have plans for better distribution. Now, we've been using Lulu, which is a service where it costs nothing to set up your book and make it available. Now that we've got some money, we can actually use some other systems. Because I have an account with Lightning Source, which is the big print-on-demand company that supplies into, they're owned by Ingram, which is the biggest distributor to Amazon and other places. And small publishers often find it very difficult to get an account there, I understand, but I got in years and years and years ago when it was easy. And I've kept my account. And so I've been thinking about trying to get the books through them and get them onto...
Right. Well, okay. Well, I would say for point number eight, then, it sounds, as far as I'm concerned, I don't know what other people think, but I think it's a really great idea.
Michael says, break and in.
Break in. Michael, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. I think it's an absolutely fantastic idea, and I think it might actually help encourage people to start developing the documents as well. Actually having a printed guide in front of you in an official format allows you to go through and highlight what while you're using the software, what you think needs to be changed, where the focus needs to go to. So I know that I'd be more than willing to buy an official
a printed manual
for LibreOffice. So I think it's a fantastic idea.
Just a little question for you, Gene. What kind of sales are you achieving? What have you guys achieving out of this so far? Is it working? Is it productive? Is it?
Well, we get a steady income of around $150, maybe $200 a month. That's Australian, but these days it's also American, you know. Steady stream of sales. They're not. It's not a huge amount. But our marketing kind of is not that great at the moment. The authors group has a bank account of about $8,000 at the moment.
Okay.
Which we haven't decided.
Are you publishing for other projects already? What stuff? What kind of?
We've made the offer to several places which haven't taken it up. There's two books by individuals being sold. One is David Eisenberg's book on Open Document Essentials, and a book that I wrote called Self Publishing Using OpenOffice.org. We made an offer to K Office years ago, but they couldn't provide an acceptable PDF.
Okay.
Pardon?
You need that stuff in PDF format, right?
Yes. I actually prefer to get it in ODT, and then because then I can do any tweaking that's needed to make the make everything work. I can make sure that the publisher's name and the ISBN and all that's in there. But I have to, but we'd love to publish for other people.
Did I hear Kendi trying to get in there?
No.
Okay, fine. Okay, well, I think this is a really good idea, and if nobody else wants to take the initiative here, I propose putting this one to the SC. I'm pretty sure they're not going to say no, but I think it's a great idea, and I would suggest that I would put it to the SC and try and get some kind of official approval for it.
Official approval, that'd be good.
Okay. Well, I don't know what constitutes official right now. But,
because it's all Creative Commons, then, I mean, you know, it's so we can just do it if we want to. But it's nice to have everyone say, "Oh, that's wonderful. We approve of this."
Yeah, yeah. I see what you mean.
Sometimes
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, you kind of you said that you want to free yourself. I'm just looking down the agenda here to see if there's any stuff that we really need to ask you before we might possibly continue without you. But you're the most experienced person here, as far as I'm concerned. I keep hold of you for as long as possible. So number nine, what other user oriented? Will should docs teams be responsible? Yeah, these questions. Document related bugs from David Nelson. Maybe this is a good time for, I don't know what you think, but maybe this is number 13. Does the proposed Drupal website provide appropriate tools for, you put that question, you probably want to listen to Michael talk about that.
I'm more than willing to put in my 2 cents here, if people want to hear it.
Okay. Okay. You can rant. Please rant.
Oh. Actually, it's less of a rant and more of a clarification than question
okay.
asking.
Sure. So we got number 13, point number 13, yeah? Go ahead.
Yes. So point number 13, so... does the proposed Drupal site have the tools for tracking, writing, reviewing, editing? What I have currently set up is the is essentially a very similar system to the OpenOffice.org authors site, which is essentially just containers and a workflow, so that documents in ODT formats or PDF or any other format that we wish can be edited and uploaded as a new version. As those versions of the document progress, once the document's considered to be complete, the document can then be submitted to a group of people within the documentation team, which we'll have to assign. Or the documentation lead will assign through the website as being documentation editors. Those editors can then review the document, reattach it, and send it back to the author of the document or the person that submitted it for review to the editor. At that point, there's a revision process, and once the document is considered complete and of a high standard, then it is through the workflow the editor then approves the document, and it would then automatically be placed into our official documentation list on the website.
You have all this up and running.
I currently have the workflow up and running. There's no documents in it at the moment.
This is on LibreOfficeAustralia.org, right?
Yes, that's the temporary site we're developing on. Carlos and myself and a few others have been doing a fair bit of work on the site to date. I kind of encourage people not to go there unless you are interested in developing this website with Drupal, because it looks like a bit of a shambles at the moment, because we are developing the back end, which essentially is this workflow that I'm talking about, the interface that allows a layperson, or I shouldn't say layperson, a technical oriented person who's good at document writing, can go in there without a whole lot of understanding of how the system works, and it will present them with options to say, well, I'm a documentation editor. I can download this document, view it, and edit it, upload it again, and send it back to the author without any troubles. And it's very easy to do. So that's what we're in the process of developing at the moment. I suppose one of the questions I did have was presented by Gene earlier, which was how does the openoffice.org authors site work, which is essentially just the containers and a workflow, which is what we've got the basics set up. We're just developing that interface. I suppose the other questions I had were especially in terms of this easy hacks idea, in terms of encouraging people to get involved. It is possible to set up a system alongside this so that the authors of the documents can say, I need help with this section of the document, can upload it to there and people can put their suggestions in, and then that can be resubmitted into the document workflow. And I suppose the other question I had was, what other requirements do we have as a documentation team in terms of authorisation, reviewing documents, and the entire workflow through from the initiated idea of a document on a topic through to a complete and published document?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well,
it sounds like you've covered most of the things that I would have thought of. Of course, once one starts using something, one always seems to find but it sounds good. And I didn't notice anything.
I understand where you're coming from, yeah.
You didn't leave out anything that I felt was conspicuously ought to be there that you didn't mention. Sounds good.
I suppose the aim from my point of view is to make it as easy as possible for any end user to get involved, but to make sure that we do still have those quality checks in place so that we do have people that are known to be very high quality in terms of their technical writing, and also reliable, so that they can be either reached or have some kind of accountability for the work that they approve.
Yeah. Okay, Michael. I just like to say one thing. I have an account on that site. Could you maybe just make sure that I have the necessary permissions to be able to take a look at this documentation processing workflow that you have there, and then maybe I can communicate with you more about this subject. I'd be interested to see it and to get familiar with it. Gene, do you have an account there? Michael.
I can set up your account so that you have access to that, not a problem.
Okay, I have an account on there, David Nelson, so that would be the guy to give the permissions, any necessary permissions to. Okay, and I promise over the next few days I'm going to drop over there and I'll drop you a little note on the list beforehand, and I'll drop over there and take a look at it, and then, maybe we can communicate about the needs of documentation team. Gene, do you have an account on that site?
I don't think so.
I don't remember, to be honest.
Sorry, as I said before, I'd strongly suggest that we get this, first of all, the theme up on the site, and there's a lot of user interface interactions that we still need to work on once Carlos has uploaded that the theme. So there are a couple of steps, but what we need to do now is get the base information down, get the framework behind it, and I'm more than happy to go through and show people how to do it, but it's definitely not the final draft of the user interface.
Yeah, I understand that. No problem. It's a work in progress. We have to start somewhere, and there has to be a working phase during which things are not ready. So, no problem there. So I'll drop over there over the next, log into that site over the next few days. I'll communicate with you on the list first to tell you. And similarly, any time that you feel that there's been like significant progress that you would like to show somebody from documentation, then, you know, feel free to give me a heads up, and you know, I'll haul myself over there myself and try and drag a few other people with me.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. Yeah, I suppose thanks very much for just clarifying a few of those things, and definitely it would be good to have somebody who does have that background in documentation having a look at the interface and the and the way that the documentation is managed through there. So that'd be great. I've just set up your privileges now, so you're ready to go. Yeah, I'm not suggesting you do it right now, but if you just want to email me at some point and ask some questions, and I'll try and point you in the right direction.
Yeah, just to clarify my experience a bit more, just so that, you know, people know it is. I have about like 25 years experience in technical translation. I've worked on a lot of documentation, technical documentation. I've run a couple of documentation projects myself, you know, sort of, I did one for IBM some years back in which basically the guys from IBM said, you know, okay, forget about translating the crap you're getting from the source and just provide us with documentation as you feel it should be. So I have some experience in this. I don't have too much experience for instance, like this kind of automated workflow via a work site. I use tools in my own work, software tools. You know, I use stuff like Pootle. I do also use, let me see, PoEdit and stuff like that. So, you know, I do have a little bit of project management experience. Okay, so that's point. We talked about point number 13 there. And now, Gene, I don't know if you're still wanting to get free or if you still want. Let me see. We've been on this for about an hour and a half now.
I really pretty much need to go, and I think we've covered everything that's particularly of interest to me.
Okay. Okay.
I'll be interested in the
whatever fine.
Comes out of the rest of it, but yeah.
Well,
so
the things I would suggest the things I would suggest that we might still talk about for a little while would be like the Wiki Help. You know, since Kendi's online and we haven't talked the Wiki Help as such. And then there's a question about number 11. Should DocsTeam be responsible for documents aimed at programmers, sysadmins? I bet Kendi's going to have a lot of stuff, and probably Andreas will have some comments to make about that too. Number 10, that's another subject I'm sure that Kendi's and Andreas are going to have stuff to say about. Do you want to stay along for that, or are you going to excuse yourself?
No, I'm going to excuse myself now, please. And you can give me the executive summary later.
Okay. Well, before you go, are you interested or willing to have another conference in about, say, 1 week, 10 days' time as a follow-up to this one? Or do you prefer to keep it in writing via the mailing lists and stuff?
Let's see. I'll have to give you a definitive maybe.
A definitive maybe.
Perhaps.
Okay. Okay. Well, I will make a proposition.
Okay.
And see what interest comes from there. Me, at the moment, the state of the documentation team as it is, which is, you know, pretty non-existent, I see an interest in having, like, a few of these meetings to try and actually work up a documentation team, properly speaking. I'll make a proposition then, and we'll see how you respond to it, huh?
Okay.
In any case,
thanks, everyone.
Really good to talk to you. It's been really good to talk to you, and thanks very much for you know, bringing us up to speed on things. And we'll be reading you on the list, huh?
Probably, yeah. Okay, guys. See you later.
Okay,
bye.
Gene, see you later.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks, Gene.
Goodbye.
Okay, so my idea would be now that we could talk about the... first of all, I'd like to talk about... before talking about the wiki help, I would like to bring up point number 11 and see what you guys think about it. Will should the docs team be responsible for documentation aimed at programmers, sysadmins, etc.? That's the first question. My point of view would be that it's an obvious center of interest for a documentation team. It's one of my personal rants as a contributor. You see, I feel that there are a lot of open source projects that have really great software, but there are very, very few open source projects that have really good programming documentation, and that one of the things that's a big break to attracting, to basically enabling people to put their fingers inside the engine and start contributing or start making their own adaptations or whatever, basically, is the lack of programming documentation. So for me, I feel that's a very obvious center of interest for a documentation team. What do other people think?
So, if I can speak?
Candy.
Yeah. So I'm not sure about what do you mean by the sysadmins documentation in this regard. Like,
well,
programming documentation, I understand as like explaining the concepts used in the source code and stuff like that, right?
Exactly. I'm talking about basically, for instance, an overall structure of the software, and of course a programmer's API, sort of explanation of the functions, what you would call like an API documentation, explanations of functions, how to use them, where they're used, etc., all this kind of thing.
Yep.
Over to you.
So I personally am very much believer in inline documentation of this. So basically, when you write the function, that you prepend it with some documentation tags in the comments and actually generate the documentation out of that. Unfortunately, in the OpenOffice code, we have inherited, there's not many of this used. There are some pieces that that use some kind of the documentation. Also, we can kind of generate the documentation even without this tags for things to document them. But yeah, that's the current state. Obviously, it would be great to improve that. Of course, it's hard to find the spot where to start. So,
right. I know of like one tool for PHP is like PHP docs, where you actually write the documentation into the code, and then at the end you run the whole code through the through PHP docs, and it pulls out an API documentation for you. That's the kind of tool you're thinking of, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Is that correct?
And actually, I've just posted to the IRC something that we generate so far, are able to generate. So if you look at the for example SW, it means the documentation for writer, so you can see that it's very huge, the amount of classes that are there in environments. So as I say, it's hard to identify where to actually start with this. So what we use now for actually getting the orientation in the source code is that we used some tools for quick search in the source code, and mm-hmm. also we have some scattered pieces of documentation in one of our repositories that we use for development. But these are really like very scattered pieces of whoever wanted to achieve something and found it very twisty, just quickly documented it in some easy way. It is, of course, suboptimal. On the other hand, like documenting in like I personally prefer like lists, item lists of things to look at, than like lots of chapters and paragraphs describing the things, because I think that the source code itself should be readable for programmers, so that when you have the pointers where to look at, that you are actually able to see the concepts there. But yeah, like it would be great if you can help somehow. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. I myself don't have idea at the moment where to exactly start. So that's
for
my,
one logical.
Yep.
For me, one logical starting point would be like to have a first document that would be an like an overall architecture of the mm-hmm. system. And are you still with us? Andreas doesn't seem to be with us. Okay.
Well, I'm with you, but I don't think.
Okay.
It's very difficult, I think, to get an overview document. I'm not a programmer, but I think there are different styles because the code is sometimes very old. I translated some comments from German to English, and I see some notes about when this stuff was put inside the code. That's 1975 or something like that. Do you have in the 80s or something like that? That's a very different way to get started with programs. Then maybe Candy and others will do in the today or in the next years or so, because programming and the architecture of a program will change. I don't know. I'm not an coder that way.
Okay.
Candy will explain that better than I.
Okay,
like,
Candy, do you think...
Yes.
Yes, Candy.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay. Do you think that there would be a very positive response from the developers if the documentation team came to them and wanted... because basically it is not something the documentation team could do by itself. I mean, unless you have guys in the documentation team that are also coders or at least sufficiently familiar with coding to be able to reverse engineer the code. This is something you could only do as a joint project between the documentation team and the developers. Do you think there would be a positive response to that or what?
So, I would say it this way. So I don't think that at the moment it is a blocker for getting new developers not having better documentation for this. So so considering the size of the documentation team, I think that at the moment it would be better to focus on the user documentation. But keep an eye on the development point of view, and maybe like if we get more developers as well from our side, it would be easier to get some synergy here, so that you know, there are some people that are actually interested in providing the information for the documentation team, and also you have more people that would be able to help us from the documenting point of view.
Right, okay. So this will be a project for, put it this way, a mid-term project in the future, not something
yes.
that we should
yes.
Yes.
I think that it's not a blocking issue at the moment, and I see the value there. So.
Okay. So I think we've done point number 11. So would you like to talk about WikiHelp now?
Okay. So a set of background, how the help is being done now. It is that it is stored in some XML files that are called XHP, and actually authoring directly this XHP files is not something pleasant. So there are some tools and macros that actually allow you to load this into OpenOffice or LibreOffice Writer and do the modifications there and then export them again as the XHP files. It is not that obvious for new people coming to the project that they should follow this. Also, it's from my point of view, it's fragile, and you can easily break things because there are some steps that require relying on some tooling that might not do what you thought that it would do. And so the idea was, we want to do it easier for the actual
authors. Can I just interrupt you?
Yes.
Can I just interrupt you for 1 second? Michael, anybody else listening, I'm getting Kendi very, very badly here. Can you hear him clearly or not?
Yes. I hear him very clearly.
Michael says he's not hearing you well. I'm hearing you very badly. I can just about follow what you're saying. Let's just say it's suboptimal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Please.
So should I try to speak up, or is it better when I shout into my microphone?
No, it's not that I can hear you from the point of view of level of voice. I think maybe I don't know. It's breaking up a bit. It sounds like there's like a basic transmission problem. I'm hearing some of what you're saying, but not very, very clearly. Are you hearing me clearly?
I'm hearing you very clearly. Like
okay,
if I called you directly, but I'm connected through Skype. I don't know if that's the issue with this conference.
Okay, I'm on Skype myself. I would just say then, let's listen to you, and if you could also afterwards maybe follow up on the list with a basic outline of your ideas as well. That way I can read you and probably follow you a little bit more clearly. But please do continue. Please do continue.
Okay. So basically, what I wanted to say is that authoring directly the XHP files is, from what I think, suboptimal, and it would be better to convert this to some way that is easier for people to contribute to. And the obvious the answer that we came up with was convert the help into a wiki.
Yeah.
And provide some kind of fallback in the LibreOffice code that if the help is not installed at all, just jump into the wiki, to the correct
mm-hmm.
point of the wiki, and be
right.
there. And so this allows two things. First of all,
mm-hmm.
you do not have to have the help installed. When you know that you will be online, you do not have to download some 20 megs of files just to your computer.
Right.
You have you leave all the heavy lifting on the server. And
yeah.
The second thing is that actually people are enabled to contribute to the help easily. So if they see that the description of the function is not accurate, they can improve it directly in the wiki.
Michael asked a question.
Yes.
Yep, please go ahead.
It will be available offline. So for
right.
3.3 version of LibreOffice, we will just provide the separate help files for download. So you are able to just download them and have them offline as well. For the next versions, what I plan to do is some kind of converter of the wiki help back to the offline help so that you are again able to download that, but that help will be based on what is in the wiki. So we will do, just before the release, we will do some kind of snapshot of what is in the wiki and provide it as a part of the possible downloads for LibreOffice.
From the thread on the mailing list, the point of reference would be kind of the wiki, the point where, for instance, I could jump in and say, oh no, I have to change this, I want to add this, would be the wiki, and then it's going to permeate through to the offline help and back into the source code as well. Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
that sounds like a good idea to me.
Yeah, the idea is there even that it doesn't necessarily be in the source code at all.
Yeah,
like
that
we will have the tooling to convert the wiki back into whatever is installable, but it doesn't have to be part of the source code anymore. So Andreas asks if how is it with the consistency in different languages?
Yeah.
So what I plan to do in this converter is that whatever I need to fall back to English version, I will use a wiki template that will use the English version there, but will clearly mark it. This is something that we need to translate.
Right.
So again, the people can just translate these paragraphs as they see them suboptimal or whatever. Of course, this is for the initial import, and whatever is changed in the wiki in the English version, then you have to actually look into the history of the English version and update your language accordingly.
Basically, so we're talking about adopting the wiki workflow as the workflow for working on help. The wiki workflow is going to be what the translators are going to have to learn and use for translating into different languages. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes,
okay.
For the help part, that would be correct.
Right. Now, Michael is asking, how would we manage quality control in a wiki as we would be promoting this as official help source? What is the idea about having some kind of over control? I mean, we're talking about having a publicly editable wiki. Everybody can jump in and do their bit. What kind of over control would, say, the documentation team have on the whole process to be able to hold a kind of discipline together and hold accuracy together?
So, from my point of view, I don't have any proposal for such a process at the moment. My current point of view is that it is better to have something than nothing. So
yeah.
I still hope that we wouldn't have, at least in the first phase of this, too much vandals that would destroy the pages in some unfriendly way or something like that.
Yeah.
Like that. If it starts happening, then we have to for sure introduce some processes that would help us to manage the quality control. For the moment, I still hope that people that would be translating something on or stuff like that get it to the state when really something at least somehow translated is better than not translated at all.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So.
But of course, if we see the need for more processes, I would be very much open to your suggestions and your.
Yeah, I get the idea.
Whatever you are used to in your area, you are doing.
Right. So we're talking about having a publicly editable resource initially, and then possibly, if there's a need, having a kind of a controlling group, you know, some kind of a working group with kind of editing powers. With kind of veto powers and editing powers
and
basically getting alerted whenever content is updated and invited to come and take a look at it, proofread it sort of thing.
Yes.
Mm, okay.
That sounds ideal for me. Start
right,
open
okay.
And if it doesn't work, like, let's get it
find
more
a solution.
Controlled.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds okay to me, especially the current state of the project. We have to be realistic about the, you know, resources we have in terms of people working on this. Andres, does that answer your question for you?
I know the current process of it. The most work in German for the German group is done by André Schnabber. I think Candy should talk with him about the current process and what's good and what's not so good working. He is very experienced in that task because
mm-hmm.
he did many work in this in the past for OOO and now for LibreOffice.
Yep. Mm. Yeah, okay. One thing that I think is important. This is still work in progress. So, I'm just planning to show some preview version that wouldn't be editable, but would be for, you know, checking the quality of the conversion from the XHP files into Wiki. Because I think that first of all we need to fix the converter itself, and I hope that I will have that public latest on Tuesday. But of course something wrong can get into that. But my plan is to have it on Tuesday.
Oh, that's cool. That's great. I think Michael has a point there. At the moment, we have our Media Wiki as an entirely independent resource. Now, Michael's asking, the Drupal site would be able to integrate this into the documentation and workflow and translation system. Now, have you been thinking, Kendi, about some kind of integration with the Drupal site? Have you thought about that? Michael, you want to talk about this?
So I've been managing the Wiki installation currently only on my testing machine.
Okay.
And from what I've seen in because I'm using MediaWiki, which is the wiki that is used for Wikipedia.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how much it itself has the has the integration with other systems. It seemed to me from what I've been setting up that it is not designed to have too much integration with other frameworks.
Yeah.
On the other hand, it itself has the user accounts, the possibilities to allow people to edit them, edit it without allow or disallow editing without being without being locked in and stuff like that. So so some level of control we can introduce even on this.
Okay. Michael, would you like to speak?
Yes.
Michael, do you hear us?
Sorry. Yeah, sorry, David. Yeah, I suppose the thing that I was concerned about with this is that we seem to, especially from a web interface from a community point of view, there does seem to be a fair bit of pull in different directions, whether it's in terms of the Silverstripe development and the Drupal development. I mean, that was fairly well established early on in terms of how we are approaching the web-based community interaction. Now, in terms of pulling us in an even different direction, especially with something like document, essentially official documentation, setting up as a what would essentially be an external service from the central community site, it just seems a little bit. I don't really know how to explain it, but it just seems a little bit counterintuitive to very early on community building in terms of, as you mentioned before, integration of services, making sure that people have a single sign on to a single site, and once they get to that site, depending on which teams they're a part of, are presented with options and updates for different areas, the areas that have been flagged to work on, the areas that people have suggested changes, rather than managing it in a wiki update style system where you get emails when anybody changes any small part of it. It makes sense to me that a system of this, I suppose, official magnitude It should have some kind of integration and certainly some kind of workflow so that you know who is authorising, you know exactly who is authorising the information being put into the official release.
Right.
And I mean, that's essentially what we're setting up with the Drupal site, and we're trying to coordinate this as early on as possible with all the teams. This is the first that I've heard of this. I'm not sure whether have you approached the website mailing list yet with your requirements for this system?
No, I have not.
No. Okay. All right. But might I suggest? I mean, Drupal is quite powerful in terms of the output the output format. So I'm absolutely sure we can output it in any XML file format that you do require, but and it does support a wiki style input, but along with that wiki style input, you can also have an extra protection layer, a workflow where things do need authorization to progress into an official form, even if it's just a group of 100 people looking at it and saying, "Oh, that's okay," and then if 10 people or 15 people authorize it, then it can progress. So, I mean, there are those type of systems that can be set up, and I'm absolutely sure that we can get some kind of output XML format to suit what you've set up, but we do need the specifications and information about it before so that we can coordinate with you and head in that direction. I know this is not the place to be talking about this because it's a documentation conference call, but I think it's
a bit of a documentation issue too. Yeah.
Yes.
But on the other hand, I think it would
be very constructive to coordinate through both the mailing list of the documentation and the website mailing list.
Hmm. The project that Kendi's basically got going, that's he's kind of targeting Media Wiki here specifically. Now, I see your point of view about, you know, wanting to integrate it into the Drupal site, but like you say, it sounds like an added complication that would take some time to develop in itself. Perhaps at the present time, we should consider that to be a kind of a project for maybe further down the line, see how things develop. You know, Kendi has something that's going to be up and running very quickly here, you know, he's talking about in a few days' time. You know, it sounds like some kind of Drupal integration would be something to look at after we see what Kendi's produced, and then after we sort of like see what is feasible. You know, how would one proceed?
Absolutely, I'm not suggesting we go backwards from where we are at, and especially what Kendi's done, because it sounds like he's done some fantastic work. I suppose from a website point of view, though, we do need the specifications so that if we are going to go in that direction, that we understand what the website team understands what they need to set up, and coordinate from that point of view.
So let me just summarize it from my side. For me, it is not important like what is on the server side. For me, the content and being able to edit it easily is what is important for me. So I've just quickly Googled, and it seems to me that Drupal itself has some modules for providing wiki, right?
Yes, it has.
Yeah.
It has
so, plenty of modules. I don't mind at some stage to just convert it from Media Wiki to Drupal Wiki. Like, why not? So if Drupal becomes the official framework for all and every website content that is for LibreOffice, I don't mind like converting it to that, because I hope at least that
it's basically easy for you to target either Media Wiki or a Drupal Wiki.
Like for me at the moment, it's easier to target Media Wiki because I'm at least somehow familiar with that, and also the format of MediaWiki is what is widely used, and there are some nice extensions that helped me during the creation, but I don't mind like converting it as the needs arises to any other system. So at least what I see in the IRC, Michael, is that it wouldn't be achievable for 3.3, but we need the wiki help running for 3.3, because we still plan not to ship the help files by default, and for that we need the online help running.
Have them somewhere. Mm.
Yeah. So, but I don't mind setting something else for that for later time, as long as we are able to do some redirects and stuff like that. So.
Mm.
Yes,
Michael does.
Yeah, I completely agree. I'm not suggesting that Drupal will become the absolute one and only central form of information for LibreOffice. Mm-hmm. There's definitely going to remain a wiki which will most likely be powered by MediaWiki, because it is quite a powerful system in its own right, the way it works. What I was suggesting is that I'm absolutely sure that rather than bending what you've already done to suit Drupal, I'm sure that Drupal can provide the compatible outputs, inputs mm-hmm. and outputs to suit what you've already built. Just that we need the specifications so that we know where we're heading.
Michael, does the Drupal Wiki module, it must obviously be compatible with a number of Wiki formats. Is MediaWiki one of the formats that the Drupal Wiki module supports?
I think what we're talking about is XML output. So it's more about transferring information from whichever content management system that you are using over to some kind of online help system within the core
the Drupal
program.
Wiki. Yeah.
Oh no, rather yeah. So it's actually the way that the information is transferred from the Drupal pages or wiki style input pages over to that online help system within LibreOffice.
Oh, okay. So this is a bit different issue. So you are talking about the actually conversion from the wiki format to whatever we would be able to use for the offline help, right?
Not really. What I'm asking for is the online help system, is that going to be essentially just an embedded web browser that goes to that page?
That's what we do for the online help in 3.3. So you will be just redirected to a web page, and it opens your web browser and all that stuff. If you have installed the offline help, like the stuff that you are able to look into when you are offline, it will be still not generated from the wiki help, but from the source code as it is now. It is past 3.3, the work to actually convert what we will have in the wiki into whatever is usable inside LibreOffice. Because currently LibreOffice has its own kind of application that will show the help, but we would like to actually remove this code and instead use whatever is available on the platform. So on Windows, it's some kind of internal help system that is somehow, I think, at least compatible with HTML, not sure how much that. On GNOME and KDE, it is possible to have help that is generated from DocBook. But it is post 3.3.
I think it's kind of a non-issue then, because I'm absolutely sure that the Drupal team can bend to that requirement. That's very easy, not a problem.
Yep.
Okay. Cool. Well, that sounds great. Does anybody else have any comments to make about that? Andreas, are you happy with what you've heard, or would you like to say something?
No, but I have sometimes a little bit, or my time is finished. I had to go.
Okay. Well, I think that's probably the situation for all of us. Michael, I just read you've been up for the past 24 hours. You're a real hero for being here. You're a real hero for keeping your brain online after 24 mm-hmm. hours.
My work's pretty demanding, so it does keep my brain online. But yes, I'm just about to go to bed.
Okay. I think it sounds like we've come to a natural end for this conference. Does anybody else have anything to say? Or
Yes.
Candy, have you got anything you'd like to add at the end, Andreas?
Yes. So, well, we were talking about the technical side of this help. Like, what matters, of course, is the content. So I hope that you would be able to get involved in this, and I think that this is good for documentation team to keep track on the on the content of the help. And I just subscribed to the documentation mailing list, and I will I will inform you about the new things about around the WikiHelp and whatever will be will be there available for you to look at and to improve or give me feedback on as well.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested in being in on this. It seems like a natural area for documentation to be in on. I don't know if you like to, if you like, I also keep track of the website list, you know, if you feel like carrying it on there, because it's kind of something that's astride the two lists. I don't care. You can put it on the website list, documentation list, or you can also contact me personally at any time wherever it's relevant. But, yeah, I would definitely like to stay informed about this.
Okay. You will be.
Okay, cool. And that's a really great job you've been doing, you know, because I've been thinking before, you know, I'm going to have to, I already have, like, the Git downloaded onto my computer, and then I'm thinking to myself, okay, listen, you've got to get up to speed on getting into that code and then working on that help. But this is a much better solution. This is a great solution. This is a little bit the same direction that, that MS Office has been going as well. They have, they've pulled their help out of the core program, and they've got it sort of like web-based now, if I remember correctly. I don't use it very often, but, I remember that. Cool. Okay, gentlemen, if nobody else has anything to say, I would certainly like to say thank you very much for your time today. And I will be proposing another, perhaps not quite as long as this one. We're into 2.25 hours. But I'll be proposing another conference at some time in the not-too-distant future. And you know, one or more of you, I do hope you'll be there.
Okay.
I think it has been a very constructive phone conference. I think we've got a few things fleshed out, but
yeah.
I suppose the key of path forward is recruitment, I think, into the documentation team and setting up a structure.
Absolutely. I'm going to be putting some ideas on the wiki over the next few days. I'm going to start writing some stuff down on the wiki, and I'm going to be thinking very aggressively about some kind of recruitment campaign. So you'll be able to read me more about that, and I'll be writing to the lists about that. Okay. Does anybody else have anything to say?
Nope.
Okay. Well, it sounds like have a good sleep, Michael.
I will.
And, and thank you very much for your time, Kendi. And thank you for your time, Andreas, too. And catch you all another time on the list. Talk to you very soon through the list.
Okay.
Thank
you very
much. Okay. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, guys.
Goodbye and good night.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.